Brother Jack, and we were really glad. Originally, he wasn't going to be able to be with us this morning. He was going to come in this evening. He was going to be preaching somewhere else this morning, but his schedule changed, and he was able to be here, so we wanted him to be able to preach God's Word, and also, if he wants to, give you a little update on whatever may be going on in the battle there concerning the home. I want to thank those of you who, without any appeal on my part, those of you that have given toward the legal, financial burden there as a result of those things. And we gave Brother Jack that check this morning for what has come in over the last few weeks, and it was a real blessing. Thank you for, you know, if you helped with that, thank you so much for that. That's a real blessing. And so at this time, Brother Jack, it's all yours.
All right. Well, we're going to Israel, amen. If anybody's going to get caught by the Al-Qaeda, it's going to be me. I'm going to be on CNN blinking, come and get me. They're torturing me over here. God bless you. Brother Veach and them are gone. I'm left by myself. Amen. But I'm looking forward to meeting Brother Veach's brother and talking to him a little bit more at the restaurant this morning. And I appreciate that. We got mutual friends, Dr. Jim Vineyard. I love Israel. I love Israel. And I love his church. When I come to this church, I look for characters I've seen all my life on television. I see serial killers, Don Corleone back there, you know, the Godfather sitting back there, you know. And but I love it. I love it. I ask them, are you Jew? Are you Lebanese? And so forth. I'm checking everybody out and so forth. I'm thankful all ground is level with the cross. And I love this church. And thank God that you're in Christ. People ask me all the time, where you at these days? I'm in Christ. Where you at, baby? And later one time, I asked Dr. Lakin one time. She said, Dr. Lakin, I hope to go to heaven. And he said, baby, that's up to you because I'm going. Amen. And she said, well, I'm a Catholic, and old St. Peter got the keys. He said, you let old Pete keep the keys. I've got the door of Jesus Christ. Amen. But we're glad to be here with you, and Karen and I got in. We were going to bring an RV up here. Mine's an older one, not like Brother Riley's. I got an older one. I got mine. Noah had his for a while. So it got a little cold. I had to send old Buster home back to Alabama. Brother John's asking where Buster's at. Buster went back to Alabama. It's warm down there. But we got in last night and so forth. And there's something about when you cross those Verrazano Bridge, it's just something changes. My appetite. See, there's 9,000 taste buds on your tongue. When I come to New York, they get to talking to me. They want feta cheese, gyros, everything else, you know. So God bless you. If you have your Bible open anywhere, it's all good. Matthew chapter 14 this morning. Matthew chapter 14. I'm trying to get my pace here. How many of you think, am I talking fast already? Am I doing all right? I'm talking fast already. Good night. That's the intro. And God help you folks from Arkansas. Now, y'all talk twangy down there, or soul, southerner, or what, just normal? Clintonites, or what? No, I'm just kidding. And I thank God for Arkansas. That's the first place I ever ate some red-eyed gravy. It changed my life. My head might come off my head, shoulders. That stuff different down there. Am I right? Y'all eat that brown, red-eye gravy down there? You'll never try it. It'll change your life. I tell you, it's rough. It's rough. Well, fat people sweat. This coat got to come off. I'm only go about 5 minutes. I only go about 5 minutes now. But pastor's talking to you about the legal battles. And, of course, I've been running a home for kids now about 30 years. I've never had a problem in my life with the government. I am government. I love the government. I help pay their bills. I pay my taxes. And but in our camp meeting, I had one disgruntled boy tell a bunch of lies on us, and they shut my boys home down 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning. And we won't go into how they did it and all that stuff. That's for lawyers to figure out. And so we got to deal with that situation. But I'm gonna talk to you about that this morning. I ain't gonna talk to you about the battle too much, but I'm gonna talk to you about chasing God in the storm. Chasing God in the storm. And so when they came in and so forth, took everything off, and they told me to go to the other compound. I said, I don't have a compound. I got a church. And this isn't 24. My name ain't Jack Bauer. Some of them guys believe that stuff they see on television, you know, and so forth. Sit still. And so I got over there. And long story short, they took my girls off the property. Land of America, home of the free, you know, and so forth. Took him into jail, took 17 girls to jail, no charges, nothing at all, just took them. And so I'm sitting out there beside a jail cell with my wife, Miss Karen, or Miss Trudy. And we're sitting out there, and they had my girls there for about 4 hours. And then they says, you got to feed them. Well, I knew right then I was getting them back. So I went and got them about 8 pizzas, and I put on the top cover, I love you. Sent that in there, and my wife said, you should have put we love you. I said, well, I love them. And I shall return, Douglas MacArthur, you know, and opened that pizza box there, and I said, I love you. Them girls went crazy. That cop walked, a police officer walked out of there. I said, cop or police officer? What's, you know, all right. And I can't tell what they used to call them. And, he walked out, and he said, hey, man, something's going on in that jail cell. 2 DHR has my kids on there. And they said, I said, what's going on? He said, man, them girls are singing in there. I said, what do you mean? He had a police officer, was a Christian man. He said, I got their song on my ringtone. And he hit his ringtone and went, you're invited to a wedding that will be held soon. We are the bride. Christ is the groom. I said, what's going on? He said, DHR is going crazy. They don't know how to handle him in there. Yeah, man. They asked him, he said, you're just too happy, Brother Beach. You're just too happy. One girl said, well, I'm just happy because I got the blood of Christ and the King James Bible. I got him back about 2 hours later. Amen. God bless him. Amen. So I thank God for those in the household. So what you don't know, I'm an old Lester Roloff preacher boy, and I've just taken the baton that he's given me. I'm not Lester Roloff. I couldn't even, not only shine his shoes, I couldn't even put a socks on. But I'm going to take the baton that he's given me and try to run my race for God. And so I've had up to about 4 homes. I'm down to about 2 homes. And in the midst of all this, I've already started another men's home. I'm already helped 2 other churches start 2 other women's homes in the last 2 months. I'm going to talk to you about chasing God in the storm. And you don't have to raise your hand and say, I know you got some crisis in your life because I know, welcome to humanity. You heard some of it this morning. A father and a mother in 1 week. Boy, it's rough when I lost my daddy. It's about to kill me to lose old mama. Old tender-hearted mama. And we see here in the story here, but you pray for us. We're going to go back probably to court in February and get it on when we get back. And I think that's why God gave me my millennium before the church, the tribulation. And so I don't have all the answers, but I know I'm right. And I won't go into the case to you. I'm going to tell you something. They're after you homeschoolers, where they're coming after. You may want to write this down, and I'm going to give you 2 letters and 4 numbers, H.R. 6358. It's a bill up in Congress right now, already passed the House of Representatives. And if a new president, God bless him, and by the way, I'm going to pray for Barack Obama. That bird's in position now to rule the world. And I know the Bible, I'm a Bible believer, I know what God says about it, and so forth, But I'm not here to talk politics. I hope you voted for the Republican of your choice. Amen. God bless you. And I can't tell you who to vote for. Amen. But so forth. But I won't tell you some laws that Bill Clinton put in office were for you. And I won't go into that right now. Maybe sometime I'll tell you about those. And but he did pass some good laws, humanitarian laws. And I will click them. But I served 10 years as a chaplain as a police department in the state of Washington. The sheriff who attacked my home, I've been in his office and prayed with him. I won't go into it right now, but he's out of office. He's out of office today. I don't know why he had to leave, but he's out. I'm not giving any speculations. There's something going down that he had to leave office. The sheriff who attacked my dorm at 6 o'clock in the morning. And you'd have to know how big Mike Parkinson is. Mike Parkinson is 5'4". Now, I can see you coming out the Big Jack. I mean, I grew up with Jimmy Hoffa. I know what's going on, okay? I know all the lingo. Get on the ball. I would probably laugh at him what are you doing? But I'm glad I wasn't there because I'd be in jail right now, okay? But I wasn't there, and Brother Mike there and so forth, and we'll just leave that there. But they took those kids out, and thank God they gave them all back to their mother. All but one wants to come back to my boy's home. I'll let you do the math. And so you pray for us, and God to get in this thing. I don't want Lester Roloff's battle lasted 8 years. I don't want 8 years. I want to do something else. So as of next week, Lord willing, those boys don't want to be filled up with men. And the first guy coming in, we've been praying for a bulldozer and a backhoe operator, and the first guy coming in, that's what he did for 30 years. Yeah, man. I said, son, you're going to be playing in the mud. And I got a call last week from a young girl from a large church in California. And this girl was 16 years old, got off on dope. And I said, why are you calling me? They said, Brother Jack, if you can't take it, you know who can. and got off and listen to me, girls. You want to play and walk that edge? Want to look like Britney Spears? You going to pay the price? You better listen, old Brother Jack. I love you, but I'll pluck your feathers off when I preach to you. I'll eat you bagel and cheese and coffee all day long, but I'm going to preach to you. I don't want to see you wreck your life. I don't want to see you get off that stinking edge. Quit living on it. You know what Sodom means? The word Sodom means hidden. You know what Lot means? Secret. What do you got hidden in secret today? What are you doing when your preacher ain't watching? Oh, very quiet. It's quiet when you hear that light going, Then you're wrong target, Circle the field, This girl grew up in, somebody deal with the sinner coming down the aisle right now. God bless you. I take you out to my phone up there in my car right there, and I can show you a picture because I pray for this girl every day. And, this girl, by the way, grew up in church, Independent Baptist Church, got right with God. And, long story short, she got with the wrong crowd. They got her on some marijuana first. The cool drug. Yeah, man. Then he got her on some cocaine. Then he really wanted to control her because she didn't have any money. And then he got her on, some crystal meth. That did her in, Doc. Did her in so much she started selling her body. I'm telling you, if I showed you a picture, that girl looked like a little girl sitting right in the front row. But sin doesn't play any favorites. No, she's out today. I called a pastor friend of mine and said, look, I got to get her out. But she said, oh, by the way, her pimp was going to sell her into Mexico for body parts. So you don't have to go to Top Cop. What you going to do when they come for you, bad boy? You don't have to go there to see all the action. Come in New York. Come to Staten Island. Oh, by the way, this was in California. And she said, Brother Patterson, what if my pimp calls you? I said, I beg him to. Give him my address. Give him my phone number. I'll be Rocky Balboa. Dun, 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 dun. Adrian! I'll change his life. So you shouldn't hit him. Bible said, well, doesn't say what you, I'll let him hit me one time. It doesn't say after it turned that cheek. It doesn't say what you do after that. Boom, boom, boom. I'll change his life, and for you Pharisees, in Jesus' name. How am I doing? Doing all right? So she's getting help today. Where is she at? She's in a pastor friend of mine who, he said, Jackie, I got 20 acres at my church. I'm only using about five of it. I said, what are you going to do with the other 15? He said, I want to start a women's home. I said, when? So I called him up. He said, well, I'm about a year off. I said, I got a hot one right now, brother. I need to put it in the oven. He said, I said, why don't you go ahead and take her? He said, all right. They took her in. I ain't built nothing. Don't have no house. They just made it happen. Then I get down to, Florida, and Brother Jeff McCarty, you ought to pray for him. He's the keeping pastor in Miami, Florida. He goes over to preach it. This is all in a week's time. You know, I every day of my life is a diary. And I got down to Pahokee, Florida, Brother Jeff McCarty. He goes last week, goes to preach in Cuba, and the Cubans put him in prison for 2 days. He's got 8 churches in Cuba. He gets back out, goes back to Miami. I go to the next church, and I deal with all that situation. And I'm talking about chasing God in the storm. And I go down to the next city, and the lady says, I got to see you after church. I said, oh, help us. So I'm sitting there, and my wife is sick in the RV. And I said, man, what can I do for you? She says, I got a lot of money. I got a lot of property. And I'm a real estate agent. I said, well, you don't have a problem. What do you need? She said, I want to start a women's home. I said, lady, I want to get out here and just go get a cup of Starbucks and go home. Man, she picked my brain, and the next day she picked about 10 more phone calls. She said, Brother Jack, she said, I counted over 100 little prostitutes on this street last night. From the ages of 12, 13, 14, white, black, and brown. Sin doesn't excuse no race and no color. So what are you doing, preacher? I don't have time to think about my battles. I'm trying to help somebody else. Then I go to the next pastor's house, and here's an old crackhead. And about 14 minutes, says, hey, Brother Jack, you're the one sending me to the women's home. Never even met her. I said, bless your heart. I said, how many kids you got? She said, I got 8 kids. See, crack will take it away from you every time. Lost all of her kids. I put her over at Lester Roloff's home. Still got a girl, women's home over there doing fine. So, but Jack, what are you talking about? I'm talking about chasing God in the battle. We're over here in Matthew chapter 14 quicker this morning. I better hurry up. I'm getting hungry. Every time I swallow, my stomach says, thank you. Now, I got one sister. I love her, but she can't cook with a flip. How many got a sister like that? Let me see your hand. How many got a wife like that? Amen. You better put your hand down, Brother Beach. I was at my sister's house the other day. She said, Jack, would you take out the garbage? I said, no, sis, you cooked it. You take it out. Amen. God bless you. But what we got here in Matthew chapter 14, we got three things going on. We're going to end up in the last part of it, but I'm going to give you the first part of it. John the Baptist has just been beheaded. And let's pray before I preach to you. Father, Lord, so much I want to say this morning, and thank you again for this opportunity to go to your one day to be the land of get it all back. And Lord, we get to see it now in the church age. And Lord, I can't tell you how the little preacher boy inside me is doing so many flips. I feel like I'm at Christmas time right now, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity and those that made it happen, that made it possible. I pray that you give those in power of wisdom, Brother Beach wisdom, and the tour guides, and so forth, keep all the goofy jerks away from us. And God, maybe see the right things we need to see and the things we don't need to see. I pray, God, you'll bless us now. Thank you for the service today. In Christ's name, amen. And thank you. I'm back on the bottle. Amen. God bless you. And Matthew chapter 14, John the Baptist just been beheaded for preaching. For preaching. I thank God for preachers. I love them. I is one. And I thank God for preachers, and thank God for those that know the Word of God. John the Baptist was preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. By the way, that's what built this country. That's what built this country, is preaching. Paul said over there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the Word, begins and ends. Teaching never built this country. It was preaching. It was preaching. It was preaching. It was preaching. I got a call. Yes, come on in. Just grab your seat. We'll sell it to you. We don't give it to you. Whatever. And it's Catholic Church. No, it's kidding. And I got about sold right there. And see, I didn't know the Catholic Church. You got to pay your way. I don't know all that. I was always a Baptist. My wife was an ex-Catholic. She said, "Oh man, you got to pay for everything." I said, "Good night. I could never be a good Catholic. I'm tight, and I'll be a tightwad, man." And But John the Baptist has got it, lost his head for preaching. Let me get in my message. John the Baptist lost his head for preaching. And I like what Lester Roloff said. He said, "I've got a lot of compassion, but my conviction is greater than my compassion." And I'm thankful for God today, the life of Lester Roloff, my mentor in the ministry, had taught me some right things and so forth. And now look, Lester Roloff ate right. He had to. I'm getting there now. And man, he ate carrot juice. I told a guy the other day, I drink carrot juice. It's called black carrot juice. It's called black coffee with half and half. Amen. I told him the other day, "I'm such a Bible believer, Brother Feast, I don't even drink milk. It's got homo written on the lid." Amen. God bless you. Amen. "How you gonna drink milk? It's got homo on the lid." God bless you. Amen. No, you drink that. Not me. God bless you. Amen. I don't do the foo-foo stuff either. I gotta have real cream. Amen. I'm just letting all the tour guys out in Israel. I want the real cream in my coffee. No, banana, hazelnut, and all that tangerine. You drink that, Brother Riley. Amen. God bless you. But John lost his head through preaching. This country is built on preaching. Bob Jones Sr. said it right. We've taken the drama out of the pulpit and stuck it out in Hollywood. It'll be a cold day in hell if I let Paula White out preach me. It'll be a cold day in hell if I let Joyce Myers out preach me. Amen, Brother Jack. Hey, preaching, preaching, preaching. You know what you need? I as I said today, I got a couple coming in. An Amish couple coming in. You know what they told me? They said, "Brother, hey, Jack, they can't say my name right. Jack, we want to come to your ranch because we know you've preached the devil out of us." Amen. "You've preached the devil out of us." They called me the other day. They said, "Jack, whatever you want. Me and my wife are both on crack cocaine. We got three kids. Our parents said, whatever Jack wants, we'll send them." Hey, they're looking for answers. They didn't come there for teaching. They didn't come there because you put some suave on them. They come there for preaching. You know why you come to church this morning? For preaching. For preaching. For preaching. For preaching. Hey, I tell you how a church go down. A church, hey, what do I do when the people fall asleep? Somebody better wake up the preacher. Amen. Yeah, man. That's why you got a full house on a cold morning because you know when you come here, hey, you come here to hear the preaching the word of God. You heard God's name cussed out all week long, filthy mouth all the middle. Bless God, you want to come to a Baptist church and get some oxygen inside your soul. Get that through preaching. Not only did he lose his head, that's the first part of Matthew 14. Second part, there was a miracle taking place. And the Bible says, in the last part of Mark chapter 6, because of that miracle, they still had a hardness of heart. See, 08 is gone. 09's upon us. Are you still doing the things in 09 that you shouldn't have been doing in 08? Are you still waiting 010 to get here? Hello, y'all with me this morning? Come on now. I don't know what happened there, but he fed over 5,000 people, men and women, and the Bible says their hearts are still hardened. You thankful for your church this morning? You thankful for the bread God gave you? Thank you for the health he gave you to get up? I got to talk to a guy last week. He said, I'm hearing voices in my head. I said, what are they telling you to do? He said, man, there's about 20 of them. I said, well, just tell me what one of them's doing. You got a clear mind this morning? Got a good family this morning? Man, his daughter sang up here a while ago. Man, that's a miracle. That's a blessing. Let me tell you something. You get those hardness out of your heart. You thank God for the goodness of God Almighty that God's been good to you. And let the miracles of God come inside your soul. And you make sure you don't get a hard heart for or against the things of God. You say, well, Brother Jack, I don't have a hard heart. Hey, you ought to be giving more. You ought to be praying more. You ought to be thankful more. You ought to be giving all you got. I come to the tow, man, get ready for the tow booths. They're going to come after you around here. $8. Good night. And I went to get the guy a gospel track. All I had was Kuno Uno, a Spanish track. And this guy was Peter Japheth, blonde hair and blue eyes. I said, hey, man, you read Spanish? No, man, I'm a white guy. I said, well, here, leave it for the next guy on the next shift. God bless you. Amen. Hey, I want to put out as much righteousness as I can in this old Christian life. Hey, that Bible said because of the miracles of God, he had a hard heart about it. What are you mad at God about today? God didn't fulfill your life? Hey, there were 10 kids in my family. I wish some Sunday school teacher would have got a hold of my dad when he was young. I wish that so he wouldn't have to stab my mother on Friday nights for $5 to get a bottle of Jack Daniels. I know all about the broken home syndrome. I know we were so poor I couldn't even pay attention. I like old Bud Robinson said, he was so poor for breakfast he ate prunes, for lunch he drank water, for supper he'd watch them swell. That's how poor he was. But I've been to third world countries. I've been to places where little girls that didn't have a home, didn't have a dad, they had a mom and about four or five sisters, and all they had was like a refrigerator cardboard box from Frigidaire, and they put them together with ropes and put some kind of a oil base on it and some leaves, and that was called home. How you doing this morning? Last time you thank God for your dad and your parents. Yeah, man. Last time your kids told your mom and dad you loved them.
Well, they know I do, man. Duh. Tell them anyways.
I had a little Amish lady walked up, one of my Amish girls, and I said, here's your granddaughter you've never seen. I said, why don't you give her a hug? She said, I don't do the hug thing. Oh, you little witch. What a W. I said, step in my office. My office is anywhere I officiate at. I walk in there, and I said, what do you mean? What do you mean you don't give your granddaughter a hug? Well, I'm Amish. I said, are you saved? Yeah. I said, you forget your stinking Amish. Get in there and be a Christian. Hug that little girl. Amen. Tell that girl you love her and tell that girl you're proud of her. She's not on prostitution row and she's not on dope. Give that girl some hope in this old life. Amen, yeah, Brother Jack. Good preaching. That was some of you people get over there and get a hold of your kids and love the fire of them. Tell them you love them and you encourage them and you love them and they can do it. And they fall down. Pick them back up. Pick them back up. Pick them back up. Amen. Don't get a hard heart for stupidity. Yeah. So many people quit over the stupidest thing. Well, he didn't shake my hand. I told one of them, you got bad breath. I ain't shaking your stinking hand. They got a hard heart. They got a hard heart. They got a hard heart. The guy in the back with the bald head, do I know you? Did you go to my ranch? They're still looking for you. The FBI is still looking for you. God bless you. I mean, my good night. You ever see Moses? Right there it is. And the dome right there. The little girl guy. Bless God, he used to look like Mo, and now he looks like Curly. Amen. God bless him. Good to see you, Bubba. But let me get to the core of the message. Hey, Peter! Once y'all get in the boat. Now, the first time Jesus told these guys feeding them bread, he commanded them to sit down. Now, there's three C's I want to give you this morning before we get out of here. God commands you to do some things. Don't ever expect to get away from God's commandments. Oh, I know we're in the church. Hey, look, I'm a dispensationalist. I'm not an altar dispensationalist. I don't pork chop the Bible. I believe the Bible. I take it all. The Bible says that even the wholesome words of our Lord Jesus Christ. I got my own brother. He's an ultra dispensationalist. He don't believe in baptism and Lord's Supper in the church age. I won't see him for 20 years. Oh, holding hands with her hubby. 6 inch rule in church. God bless you. He's leaning over. I got a brother. I won't see him in 20 years. You expect your brother to see in 20. Hey, man, how's the work going? Praise God. Let me help you. No, it's, hey, brother, you get that verse straightened out in Acts 9. Are you in the body or out of the body? I don't treat the Bible that way. Man, I squeezed Jeremiah 33 calling to me, and I, oh, God, especially during these days, because I'm spiritualizing everything. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, 2 Chronicles, and all the begats. I'm even checking out the begats. That begat me something right there. Lord, begat me something out of that name. Amen. I'm squeezing everything there is to get out of there. I'm even squeezing Revelation. Oh, God. Give me something out of there for me. Hey, come on. When God lift up, and by the way, since my battle last 3 months ago, my ears been opened up. My eyes been opened up. I listen to truth more intently. What's God got to do to get your scales off? What's God got to do to unplug your ears? Hey, I like the plays, and I don't know if I can do an opera. I'll sleep through it. All that stuff, you know. She likes him. I'm going to take her in the church age. I'm a fake it. Oh, this is great. I'll do it for her. I like it. But what he said, he said they had a hard heart. Now, this is what he told them. He said, number one, he should command the men to sit down. You know what God does to you moms and dads? God's after that daddy. You command them men to sit down, they'll take care of them women. Don't die on me now. You tough women out there, you're tough, but you still need a man because we think different. You think different. Amen. I better get off on that one real fast. There goes my love open. There goes my lunch. There goes my van. Lady one time preached, this guy got preached against bossy women, and the lady in the back door said, "Preacher, if I was your wife, I'd poison you." He said, "Honey, if I was your husband, I'd drink it." Now, if y'all didn't get that joke, see Brother Vince, he'll explain it to you. But let me ask you a question. He said, "You guys go over to the other side. I'm gonna get this." And by the way, Jesus was the first one there and the last one to leave. In other words, he was a preacher. I know a lot of these big shot preachers. They got silk underwear. That's what I said. You want to have a cell phone? Answer it. Duh. I call Mike Veach. Hello, Pat Veach. I call some of these guys with all these names behind there, and about 25, one guy called me the other day, and the secretary says, "Pastor's waiting for you." I said, "Click." I'll get the Starbucks coffee. I hung the phone up. What'd you do that? I ain't talking to no 3 secretaries. I want to get me a coffee. And by the way, this guy wants me to take one of his kids. I said, "You tell your pastor to call me personally." That guy never did call me. You know what? Let me help you with fundamentalism here, folks. We take, you know, like one guy said, he got all fun, no damn, and no mental. Amen. But this is what we got here. Sometimes we've let the messenger get more important than the message. And you're unaccountable and you're unreachable. Lester Roloff, let me give you three things about Lester Roloff, Pete Ruckman, and Dr. Tom Malone. They all three had listed phone numbers. Amen. Now that's deep. And Mike Veitch, number four. And Jack Patterson, number five. And Don Riley, number six. But I'm just saying, but why can't preachers be reachable?
Right.
Your Savior's reachable. Amen. I reached out and touched him. He didn't say see him as secretary. He didn't say get in line. He didn't say take a number. I'm being a little facetious, but I'm more sick of it. Man, you go there to help him, and you can't get to him. Thank God it ain't that way here. I understand you get too busy, you want to keep all the nerves away from you. I understand being a doctor, you got to do that. Well, keep that dude out of here. And I avoid time wasters. I is one sometimes. You know, I got a little bipolar in me. I can't tell that joke. My wife said, don't tell that joke here. I warmed my jokes up on her coming over. What about that joke? Would that work? No, not that one. Remind me about the bipolar joke. I'll tell you that one later on. God bless you. You're about to come back. Why don't you go tell that bipolar joke? Let me ask you a question. Jesus said, get over to the other side. Said Peter got out of the boat. Come on, Bible thumper. Peter got out. Look over here in Matthew 14. You see, here's where we are. We got something to deal with called life. L-I-F-E. We're getting older. I hate glasses. I double dog hate ties. Hate them. In Jesus' name, hate them. But I got to wear them. They're easy to choke the liberals with. Come here. But Jesus, look over here in Matthew 14:22. And straightway Jesus constrained, verse 19, and he commanded, verse 22, and he constrained. All right, we're going to go somewhere else. And straightway Jesus constrained the disciples to get into a ship. Now, this is a ship, and it's not a boat. Boat's about 14 feet long. I used to be a commercial fisherman. Are we going to go to the Sea of Galilee? Whoo, glory to God. You're going to see a ship over there. Now I'm a big man. As you can tell, I am a big man. Say, no, yeah, help me out. Help me out a little bit. You're supposed to say, no, yeah. Brother Riley's a bigger man. But anyways, and we had those boats for Lester Roloff. I didn't sit in no 14-foot skipper. You fishermen know what I'm talking about. I want a big 25 V-Haul with a 440 mag. Boom, 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 boom. Batman. You know, we're moving down the road. Now it's Fat Man. But he constrained them to get in the ship and go over to the other side. He just fed 5,000 men, women and kids, so forth, 10,000 people. He wanted them out of there. Now, I'm going to show you from the Bible why God allowed a storm to come in their life. And sometimes God doesn't work to you, but he'll work through you. That jerk at work that you can't get along with, God put you there to be a blessing to him. Or that witch on a broom, y'all got one at work? Raise your hand. God bless you. Amen. I've had them out there. And old feminoids. And but he said over here in verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the, verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, see, he's there at the end of it. He's already sent the disciples away. He's even directing traffic. Y'all get out of here now. I fed you. Y'all get on another road. That's where they talk in Arkansas or Alabama. Y'all get out of here. And he said, by the way, he went up to a mountain to pray. Let me help you out here. Where's he at right now? He's up in that mountain praying still for you. Hey, come on, Romans chapter 8, Brother Mike. He's up there praying for you. He's going to set him out in the storm. But he's got you on radar. Oh, yeah, I'm going to knock some stuff into that sucker. Yeah, I get him. Yeah, the storm's for them, but I'm going to use that storm to teach him something. Hello, this is going to get gooder. Hurry up. Look here, verse 23. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up to the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Yeah, preached like a black man. I like what the black man said. He said, Abraham was nothing to God but the ham on him, amen. Abraham, amen. Verse 24. But when the ship was now in the midst of the sea, how wide is Galilee? 15 miles wide? 7 miles off? There's deep water out there. But no, wait a minute now. Wait. It's one thing to be in a ship tossed about in the daylight. You Bible believers, we're in the fourth watch. This is a picture of the rapture of the church coming out of the trip before it gets into tribulation. It's a picture of your soul. I don't have time to explain it all. But they're in the fourth watch. From 3 to 6 is the darkest time of the night. And our time pen, that's where we're at right now. We're at the darkest time spiritually. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. But remember, he's up in the mountain praying for you.
Amen.
And watch now. Watch. It's going to get good here. Look at here. Look at here, verse 25. And the fourth watch in the night, Jesus went into them and walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they said, we're troubled, saying, it is the Spirit. And they cried out for fear. And straightway, Jesus speaking to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Well, let me ask you a question. Is it good cheer must be some bad cheer? False laughter? False humility? False joy? No, he said, be of good cheer. Good cheer because you know me and I know you and I'm going to take care of you. That man, he called it good cheer. You know what your preacher's got inside his head? I've got the fears and I've got the apprehensions, but glory to God, I've got some good cheer inside my heart this morning. He said over in Joshua chapter 1, the only time he uses success in the Bible has to do with the approach and the appeal to the Word of God. Never about money. But some of you are good at making that money. What do you invest that money in? Why is it people with money have no vision? And people with vision have no money? I never could figure. That's one question I'm asking when I get home. What did you do that for? Teach you a lesson. I know what he's going to say. Teach you to trust me. And that's a little sanguine personality. He commanded them. Number two, he constrained them. That means he got in their face. For the love of Christ constraineth us, compel us. He said, you guys get in this boat now and get out of here. Why? I'm going to show you a little bit. There are some people across the way needed them. And on the way over there, he's going to teach them something. I don't know what's in store for us in Israel, but I want to learn something. I want to come back saved, too. Come back with no arm, one eye. Hey, what's up? Don't go to Israel, man. You look like this. About 1,100 people died in Gaza. 7 Israelis. But I told my wife, I said, I wonder how many died in New York City last night. How many died in Chicago? What the pastor told me a while ago, he said he called somebody in Bethlehem, and somebody from Bethlehem told him, if you wouldn't watch the news, we didn't know there was a war on. I'm not trying to scare you. I like a laugh, because they're going to laugh at me. Look at that big guy. He's big. I'm going to cap on him. Look at that nose you got, brother. God bless you. I'll cap on so bad. I said, you got a nose so big you can climb a tree without using your hands. God bless you. You know what they say? The bigger you are, the harder you fall. I said, yeah. I said, the smaller you are, the farther you fly. One old kid asked me one time, said, hey, man, how's the weather up there? I said, watch out, punk. It's fixing to rain. You know. But Jesus said, hey, you guys get out of here and you go to the other side. And he gets in the storm and it's contrary. Is another C I want to give you. Contrary. Things that's going against you. Commanded. Constrained. Now you got some contrary in your life. Pastor's wife and mother died. Contrary. Go to the other side. Go to the other side. Now in Mark chapter 6, and then I turn to it. But the Bible says, Jesus pulled a Luke 24 on them. He said he'd walk as though he'd pass them by. In other words, it's me. You need me in that boat. I think that's what he was doing. But that's the sovereignty of God, walking through the storm. But let me tell you something. When a free will enacts, it'll change the sovereignty of God just about every time. God will change his mind based on your free will. Lord, I need you. He's there. Yeah, come on. I feel so tired for you, stinking cowardice. You ain't heard from God in 30 years. I don't know. What was he walking by? Maybe he's walking backwards. I don't know. Maybe he's doing the moonwalk. I don't know what he was doing out there. But he got your attention. He got your attention in Mark chapter 6. Man, he was walking as though he was going to pass him by. Hey! Peter caught him. You know what Peter was saying? By the way, they were afraid. They doubted. They were scared. And they even had a hard heart. And God heard their cry.
Amen.
Oh, wait a minute. Whoa. Oh, ye a little faith. And God heard their cry. I can't have a baby. Oh, I don't need one, but... Oh, you little fella girl. One of my girls called the other day. We're going to have a baby. I said, have a lot of them. I'm a good papa. Amen. I was in Mexico one time. The little girl patted me on the belly. Bambino. Said, no. Enchilada, chiliviano. That's what that is. Just go to the other side. But on that journey, Peter got spooked. But this is real sweet. I like this. Look at this. Verse 28. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it be thou, if it be thou. You ever doubt God? Well, I'm trying to show you people that God remember that we are but dust. And this is your long prayers are going to save you. If you just take that little faith. Heard about five things there. They doubted him. They're afraid. Little faith. Had a hard heart. And he still chased him in the storm. Now God came after them. And then Peter started chasing him. Oh, let me tell you something. Don't you let the storm and the wind of this old wave keep you down, man. Get up, man. Get up. Somebody out there needs you over there. They need you over there. Okay, so you have to give a Spanish tract to an English guy. God will take the Spanish tract and use it whensoever he will. Go ahead. Gonna rip off Mike Beach's track rack tonight, amen. I'm a Baptist gypsy. I'll take all you give me. Let me hasten. Come on now to verse 32. Watch it now. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Well, wait a minute. When who came in the ship? Peter and Jesus. He didn't have any problems coming back. They walked. They got an agreement. They got an agreement with God. What has God got to change your mind about today? Will you let him run the show? Will you let him be God? I have to tell myself, would you shut the flip up and let God be God? You don't have to cuss me out. I cuss Moses out. My wife says, who are you talking to in the back? I'm up there preaching. I'm in the commode. Bless God, you stinking. I'm looking at you. I'll preach up the storm. Charles Spurgeon Jr., waxing eloquent. She said, what are you doing? I said, preaching to myself. We said, get right and get out of there. Remember that in a motel one day and some guy banged on my door. He said, what are you doing in there? I just had a spell. I was just singing about the Lord and so forth. And I was in my horse pajamas and I come to the door. And there was a guy about 5'2". And all the small guys want to mess with Big Bubba's. I don't know what it is. And I guess their image or little Napoleon Narcissian complex. And he come there and he says, what are you doing in there? I said, I'm singing the songs of Zion. He kept looking up. He said, you keep on singing the songs of Zion. Shut the door. Amen. You want some things to cease in your life? then get him in the boat with you.
Yes, sir.
Get him in the boat with you. Hey, you want to pick the right guy? Get him in the boat with you.
Amen.
Oh, he's cute. My puppy is cute. But I don't kiss him on the mouth. He's got gator breath. Dogs got nasty. They got better breath than cats do, I guarantee you. Meow. All dogs go to heaven. I'll let you figure out where cats are going. It's in the Bible somewhere. But now here's a lovely story. Let me wrap it up for you. You're here today and you're outside of Christ. You better get in that ship. You can get some peace inside your heart. I remember hearing an old preacher preach one time, and he said, Jesus out there praying, and he come up to Peter. By the way, Peter's life runs in triplicate forms. Three times the Mount of Transfiguration. Three times John 21. Hello? And he says to Peter, you going to stay awake while I go pray? People chilling out. The third time Peter came to him, he said, all right, go ahead, man. That's over with. Go ahead and sleep on. I heard an old country preacher preach on that one night. Another story, Peter was in the ship. Master cares now that we perish. You don't care that we perish. Jesus chilling out. He's up there sleeping. There's nothing that'll put me to sleep like if somebody touching my head or a raindrop on the roof. Do I get a witness out there? I even shine my shoes. I even go to sleep and shine my shoe. Get the right shoe polish holder. And you touch my body, I'm out. Jesus said, hey, can't you even stay awake when I go pray? Then he comes to the storm. You know what Jesus said to him when he woke him up? He said, if you guys would have stayed awake in the prayer meeting,
yeah,
you could have slept through the storm.
Come on.
You know why some of us are so rattled today? Uh-huh. We're not staying awake at prayer meeting.
Yeah.
You only go to God when you've got something you want. Won't you go to God for who he is and what he is? I didn't come here to ask you for anything. I just came to talk with you, Lord. You've answered a million prayers or more. He answered prayers you and I don't even know about. That I forgot to thank you for. I just came to talk with you, Lord. Maybe tomorrow there will be troubles and trials, but a thousand tears may fall. But until I face tomorrow's task, I have no special favor to ask. I just came to talk with you, Lord. I just hope woman say, hey, Lord, it's me, Knucklehead. I'm going to tell you I love you. I'm going to tell you I love you. And I want to serve you. And Lord, I want to be like Peter over there in John 21. Can you imagine you owe somebody some money and they see you at work and you hadn't talked to them in 3 months? Every time you see them, you go the other way. But a good Christian will suffer the fraud anyways. You'll chew on that later on. There's probably some of you people here at church don't even speak to each other because you've got a personality conflict. 80% of your disagreements in the Christian life is 20% is doctrine, 80% is over personality. Personality traits, choleric, phlegmatic, melancholic, not getting along with each other. Amen, I believe in them. It's in the Bible. Daniel 8:16, they move a colder against them. Want some peace in your life today? Get him in the boat. You're not saved today? You need to get in that boat, the boat of salvation. But here's the reason I'm preaching to you. Look over here. Verse 33. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him.
Yes.
Now that's what those who are in the ship did. Hold on now. This is good. They worship him, saying of a truth. They got rid of all their errors. Keep going. Verse 34. And when they were gone over. Woo! One of these days, we're going over. One of these days, one of these days, we're going to get out of here. And we're going to get over. Now, God wants you and I to get over some things in our life. The next verse. So that the men of that city had knowledge of him. Have knowledge of him. I want my life to be used by God so that other people may look at my life. By the grace, look at your life. By the grace of God, to get a hold of Him. Shall we stand for prayer? Our Father, we thank You for the Bible this morning. Our Father, I pray that You'll help us take this truth home today of chasing God in the storm. Peter was scared. He doubted. Had a little faith. But he chased You in the storm. The Lord, over in John 21, He didn't even confess to You. But He saw a net of fish and the water had to be pulled up on the bank. He went there and did it without having to be told. God, give us some people today to go grab a net of fish. That slimy net of fish that needs to get done. Who said, preacher, today, I'm saved, I know I'm saved, I know if I die right now, I know I'll go to heaven. But you're saved this morning, you say, preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm in some contrary winds today. And I'm in some crisis. And by the grace of God, You showed me today, I need to go chase God in the storm. Who said, preacher, somewhere down the line, God spoke to my heart today. Would you lift your hand all over the room? Come on, get them up. All of, yes, many hands, many hands, many hands. God bless you. Here's the invitation to you, folks. I'm going to pray, and as she plays, won't you come here to old-fashioned altar? That's right. Some are coming already. Won't you come on? Just come here to old-fashioned altar and tell God what you're going to do different in the storm. Don't retaliate. Hey, and don't harden your heart. Don't harden you, because why? He's going to take you to places that you'll never get no other words without Him. Father, bless the invitation. I pray that You do a work in the heart of Your people. Heads bowed, eyes closed. As she plays, whatever God spoke to her heart to play, you just play and let God do some work in your heart.